This is a Radio.com original.
Because I guess your first van was the 68, so it was the newer generation, right?
Yes, 67 was the cutoff. So 67 was still the little widow's peak and the split window and the safari windows, and it was a totally different look. And then the next year, 68, is when they came out with the bay window, the big windshield and the flat front, better suspension, and windows where you could stick your arms out, because the other bus had those little slide windows where if you go to a drive-thru, they got to hand you your food sideways, so it goes in kind of like a jail cell.
Life gives you a second opportunity. Isn't that true, Bob? It does. Life can give you, like, for example, a missed opportunity, if you really pursue it, it can give you a second opportunity at doing something.
I remember her.
No, not her.
Oh.
The situation.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
there
those
you
things,
go.
Too.
See, once upon a time, I had a chance. In fact, I interviewed our guest, our special guest for today's show.
Yeah.
And it was a brand new, in fact, I think I still have it here. Where is it? It's a digital recorder.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I had a digital recorder. Wait, hold it. Well, whatever it is, it's hiding at just the right time. So I had a digital recorder, and we were about ready to do this, and I interviewed him, and and I went back, and I thought, this is great, I have our guest, and there was nothing there.
Oh.
And it took me 3.5 years to get this guest for Talking About Cars back.
All right. Well, good. He's back.
And he's on the line. So let's get into it. Yes.
All right.
Greetings and exclamations. Welcome to a new edition of the Talking About Cars podcast. Time for the place where everybody has a car story. I'm Randy Cardoon, owner of Mopars in Pontiac. Singular.
Singular, yeah.
This guy is Hot Rod Bob Beck. He is owner of pretty much everything. He has Ford, Chevys, Plymouths. He owns them all. And he is here with us today as we get to interview Gabriel Iglesias, joining us right here, Fluffy Guy, on the Talking About Cars podcast. And now we have to impress him because people are watching. He has a lot of people that follow him.
He does.
He does.
Even on the street.
I would say, like, take how many people follow us. And then put some zeros on it. And
a lot of zeros.
A lot of zeros, more than we do. So this is good. This is going to be really good.
Going to be great.
Here we go.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him. The guy who's going to be on our show, the comedian extraordinaire, Gabriel Iglesias, is on with us.
Hey!
Thank you so much for being on the show. A man of many cars.
Yes.
A man of many cars. You know, I always like starting at the beginning. And of course, growing up, what kind of cars did your family have, and how did that lend to, if any, what you ended up buying?
Well, from what I remember back in the day, my brother was always talking about it because he was always working on it. He had a Rambler.
Oh, okay. A Rambler.
Rambler. And he also had an old Cadillac with the big fins on the back. I want to say it was a 65, just an old. It never was in its prime. It was always in that transition of Bondo and paint.
And primer, yes. I love that.
My mom driving a my puppy. My mom driving a Ford Escort station wagon and a. I remember a Maverick. She had a Maverick, and I remember my brother making a big deal about the fact that it was a six in a row. Six, you know, it's a straight six, man. It's a straight six. They don't make them anymore. It's the best. It's a straight six. I'm like, dude, you're always working on the car. Why is it the best?
Yeah. Bob. This is Hot Rod Bob. He had a Maverick as well.
Six in a row makes it go.
Yeah, six. What he said. Introduced me to a 1968 Volkswagen bus, and that was definitely what started this whole craze.
And how many buses do you have? Because you're an aficionado of these.
Would it sound douchey if I said I don't know? Just because There's about five of them right now that are in the process of being restored. So they're shells, and they're just kind of like waiting to get, you know, have things done to them. So there's five right now that I know of that are in waiting, and I think there's 20.
Wow. Only 20.
Stock or hot rodded?
I only have three that are kind of trick.
Okay.
One of them, man, it's almost 200 horsepower, so it's definitely a car that can handle the freeway and then some.
I understand you have a Tesla, and so you understand electric power. I remember watching a Wheeler Dealers episode where they actually stuck an electric motor that was like just not big at all, but they put it in a Volkswagen bus. Did you ever consider something like that?
I did consider it, but the problem is that you're not putting a Tesla into a all these electric motors that they have. They average what, about 80 miles? And I'm sorry, but if I'm gonna dedicate putting an electric motor into a Volkswagen bus, I need to feel good about knowing that I got some range, because I had a Tesla, and because of the fact that I always had range anxiety, which is an actual thing. You charge up your car, it tells you have 250 miles, and then you slam on the gas pedal a couple times, and now you have 165, and you're like, whoa! an old lady for the rest of the day in hopes that you make it home.
Well, that's why some of the guys carry a Honda generator in the trunk.
Man.
Wait. I didn't know that.
No, I don't think that would work. That would be very bizarre. But at least you have that, and you also have, along with all of the cars, all of the vans that you have. And the interesting thing is, I guess your first van was the 68, so it was the newer generation, right?
Yes, 67 was the cutoff. So 67 was still the little widow's peak and the split window and the safari windows, and it was a totally different look. And then the next year, 68, is when they came out with the bay window, the big windshield and the flat front, better suspension and windows where you could stick your arms out, because the other bus had those little slide windows where if you go to a drive through, they got to hand you your food sideways, so it goes in kind of like a jail cell.
I like the idea that you can act. What were the windows? The safari windows you were talking about? They actually go up?
Yeah. Straight up and out, yeah. I'm sure that in the beginning when they first put those safari windows on the buses and they only went 20 miles an hour, it was awesome. But, I tried driving with those things open one time and ate like four bugs and got in the face with something. I don't know what it was. It's not practical at all.
Yeah, like a motorcycle rider. A happy motorcycle rider's got bugs between his teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's very
goggles, and now I know.
Wearing the goggles, I understand that.
What other cars are in the stable besides Volkswagen buses?
I'm a very extreme person, so I've got the slowest cars ever, and then I've got like my muscle alley, which is basically everything Dodge. So like I have a Dodge. I got a Chrysler 300 SRT, a Dodge Challenger SRT8, a Hellcat Challenger Charger, and then I have the Demon.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who is certainly loved by his local Chrysler Plymouth dealer, excuse me, Chrysler Dodge dealer.
Yeah, no more Plymouths.
No more Plymouths, not at all. Although you have one.
Yes, I do.
My mom had a Plymouth. I remember, what was that, Reliant, I think, a Plymouth?
Oh, well, that was sort of a Plymouth, but yeah.
In the front, I remember that.
Absolutely. No, so you have, okay, so you have also, you have the Challenger, you have the Charger. I saw the Charger. You just had it wrapped, a year ago?
You know what? Here's the thing with wraps, and people ask me the question all the time about wrapping the cars versus painting them. Mm-hmm. It depends on how good you take care of the wrap. There is maintenance behind it. You can't just... I made the mistake of wrapping my car a few years ago, and the guy goes, yeah, it should be good for like 5 years before you have any problems. And year two, I was already having blotches all over the car because sunspots, basically. Mm-hmm. You cook the... It's wallpaper. So he's like, you should have kept it in the shade. And I'm like, well, you should have told me that I kept it in the shade, because I just figured it was going to be all right. So I'm not a big fan of wrapping them now, but I did do one about a year ago, and it stays inside. So I drive it around, and then at the end of the day, I park it inside.
Oh, by the way, go back to the Challenger. What do you think of the Demon?
The Demon, no one needs, like, seriously, there's, who needs that much power? Like, what do you got to prove? Who are you trying to get away from? What lands do you have that you need 800 plus horsepower stock? I've never gotten a chance to push the car. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's been a few times when maybe I'll go under a in a tunnel or you know, a nice long drive somewhere out in the IE where there's, it's just open. And I've had it to maybe 130 really quick. And then I'm like, oh, good. I didn't get caught. But who needs that kind of power? And then people see that you're driving a Demon and everybody wants to race you. I get cars that pull up to me all the time and they start revving the engines and they're like, come on, man. And I'm like, dude, you don't even know. Like, I got a receipt that says I will kick your ass.
You're going to have to come out to Irwindale one night and go drag racing.
Yeah, I got a chance to, I forgot to mention, I have two Trans Ams. I have an old school 1979 Trans Am and a 2015 Trans Am that was done by Trans Am Depot. Started off obviously as a Camaro.
Camaro, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got tricked out, so it's a Bandit edition. So there's only 77 made, and I got one of them.
Well, I saw a lot of the pictures of cars that you have are on the internet. I mean, people could go see. People have toured your museum and checked out some of your Volkswagens and also some of the other cars. I wanted to see what it looked like, so I was going through YouTube, and I came across something called Fluffy and the Demon. And I'll be darned, I watched that cartoon and there were no demons in it. I mean, cars. but it was a good short though.
Vehicular Demon, not personal demons.
Exactly. You have this, as you mentioned, the Smokey and the Bandit version of the second movie, version of the Trans Am.
Yeah, 79. And actually, that's the one that I took to Irwindale Speedway. I did a show with Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's very real, by the way. And he loves cars, especially Camaros. He had just bought a Camaro, and he invited me to be on his show. And I go, hey, I just got this Trans Am. I go, we're pretty much even on the power. Do you want to race? And so we did a thing over at the Irwindale Speedway. And we got to race. You know, it was my 79 against his 69. What was that? 70, I think it was a 68, 69, old school Camaro. And he beat me both times.
Oh.
It's because his car was automatic, whereas I still had to shift.
Ah, I see. So if you had a chance to do another car movie with somebody, or in a situation where you had like Smokey and the Bandit, if they wanted you to do a remake of Smokey and the Bandit, or if they wanted you to do another car movie, like a redo, what car movie would you like to be involved in, because it would keep you, let you drive a cool car from the movies?
You know what? Actually, Smokey and the Bandit would be an awesome one, but I wouldn't, and this is going to sound weird, but I would actually want to be Buford. I would want to, because there's something about having the freedom to just have the sirens and the lights and gun a car as fast as you want and not have to worry about, am I going to get caught? Is somebody going to chase me? You're the chaser. Therefore, you can just go for it. I did a show for the California Highway Patrol a few years ago, and they picked me up. And this was when they made the change from the Crown Vic to the Charger. They were driving Chargers.
Right.
So I got to drive in one of the first Chargers that was souped up. And I remember they picked me up at the house. They said, we're going to send somebody to go get you. And the show is in San Diego. So they picked me up in Long Beach. And we got to San Diego. I want to say my best time ever was probably 90 minutes, no traffic at 1 a.m. And we got there in about an hour, if that. I mean, he gunned it the whole way, sirens blazing. And I'm just like, this is the coolest thing ever. And I'm like, dude, what does that feel like to just be able to gun it and not have to worry? He goes, man, it's the most beautiful drive ever. And everybody gets out of your way. So I would want to be Buford driving that car. Even though it's not a sports car, being able to haul ass and not have to worry.
I like that. That's very cool.
Cannonball Run would be my second choice.
Ooh, there you go. Awesome. Yeah. All right, if you're going to add a car to your stable that's different from everything you've got right now, what would it be?
You know what I saw recently that was it was custom, but they sold it on the Barrett Jackson auction. Was a Jeep Gladiator. It was a Jeep Gladiator Demon Fusion, and it just looks so trick. It was lifted. The wheels were really big, and of course, it had the 800 plus horsepower, and it was just really nice. And they only made one. And I wanted to get it, but yeah,
I don't mean to be Debbie Downer here using a really old reference, but gosh, you've got a car that's up, that's a little, maybe not as stable, and you put that kind of engine in, that would be a tough car to take a turn in.
Yeah, a few years back when comedy got really good to me, I went out and I made some crazy purchases, and I bought one of the first H2s that came out, and I tricked out the motor or the engine on it, and it was, the horsepower was insane, and there was a couple times I got up on two wheels because I didn't know how to.
Oops.
Yeah, yeah. I was lucky they came back down. But, I got some air under those wheels.
Yeah, remember, so, keep it rubber side down and shiny side up.
Exactly. So the top. So that's one of your top three cars that you would want someday. Everybody has a list of the cars that they want someday. And I know you have you pretty much got all the Volkswagen vans and VW bugs that you want. But is there a couple other cars that are on that list of someday I'm going to get that?
Well, let me tell you, there's a couple cars that just as a kid I really loved. And I was like, ooh, it'd be great to have. But when you get a chance to actually get inside of one or drive one or actually be around it, you kind of, I'll just be a fan, or I'll buy a little diecast. One of them was a DeLorean. I was a big fan of Back to the Future, and I said, man, if I get this this TV deal, my gift to myself will be a DeLorean. And I got a chance to get inside of one at a museum, at this automotive museum in Germany, and they let me get inside the car. And wow, it's basically, you're basically putting on a soda can. The car is tight. It is tight. You don't get in, you put it on. It's so small, and the anxiety kicked in so quick. There's no way I would drive that car. And it's so low to the ground. Like, if you don't have core, you got to have some core strength. Otherwise, you're back.
How is your core strength? I've never asked that of anybody of our guests, but I'll ask you.
You know, it's decent. I'm a big guy, but I can get off the ground. So that's my claim right there.
And people all ask, right.
But I know I can do at least one, and that's all. Another car that I really liked back in the day was the 18 van. But again, unless you got really good mirrors, and there's a lot of blind spots on it because it is a panel van. It's not exactly a van like a bus where you've got nothing but view. The blind spots are really bad in that, and I didn't like it after that.
We're talking to Gabriel Iglesias, fluffy guy with us right here on the Talking About Cars podcast. After this break, we will get more from him, including the car that he lost that someday he'd like to get back. Notice I'm throwing that in, so giving him a couple minutes to think about it, and what he's up to that you're going to be real interested in. That's coming up next on the Talking About Cars podcast on radio.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, we're back. Randy Cardoon, Hot Rod Bob, along with Gabriel Iglesias, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Talking About Cars podcast. You know, you've got something in your museum that few people have, and apparently it has something to do with Brazilian vans and how you cut one in half to do something.
I have two fish tanks made from a single bus. It was done by the guys over at ATM in Las Vegas. There was a TV show called Tank, and every week these two guys would go out and they'd pimp out a fish tank for a celebrity. And so I got that phone call one day, And I love fish tanks. I had saltwater fish tanks at my house. So when I got this call, I was ready. And they're like, hey, man, we were interested in doing a fish tank for you. Do you have any ideas? And I'm like, do I have an idea for you? Now, being that Volkswagen buses are so just cool and they're classic and they're expensive. It's probably one of the most expensive cars out there. And so to turn one into a fish tank, I caught a little flack for it. But I tell people it was a Brazilian bus, not American or German made one. And the difference is that years ago, you know, Volkswagen, basically, they had their original plant over in Wolfsburg, Germany. And then, of course, then they had plants here in the U.S. and Mexico. And the back in the day, I call it a Frankenstein, where they would do whatever they wanted to do. So, like, you know, if Germany said, okay, we're going to release a 65, then all the parts that went into that 65 were parts for a 65. Whereas in Brazil, they were kind of like, we'll take this leftover 72 back end and we'll mix it with this 62 front end and put the wheels from a 1985. And so you would get these weird looking buses that just, like, for somebody that really knows them, you're like, that part doesn't go there. And why is this? Why is this that? And so they weren't really respected as much. And that's probably why you can get a Brazilian bus for pennies on the dollar versus something that was, more original. So wow. I got Brazilian buses that was decent enough to where the guys over at ATM got a hold of it, chopped it in half, painted it up really nice, and turned it into a fish tank, and they've never looked better.
Oh, that's cool.
That is cool.
You brought up Brazilian Volkswagens. I'm looking at one right now that I'm gonna try and pick up, a Puma GT. Are you familiar with those?
A Puma GT, a Volkswagen?
Yeah. It's in collaboration with Volkswagen. Puma was an auto manufacturer in Brazil, and they made sports cars using the Volkswagen platform and engine and suspension.
You got them looking it up now.
There you go.
Looking that up. Oh, I see what you're talking
They're
about.
Cool looking little cars.
I keep seeing shoes.
put in Puma GTI.
Puma GTI. All right, let me see what that does. Because, yeah, right now I'm looking at a bunch of soccer shoes.
Yeah, no, wrong.
All right, here we go. Oh, all right. All right. It almost looks like a Nissan.
Well, it's kind of depending on which year you're looking at. The taillights are wraparound or they're inset in there, and the sloping nose like a Porsche. And
72.
Yeah, and they did that because sports cars were very expensive in Brazil, so only the elite would get them. So they came up with this one. It's a fiberglass car, and it uses all Volkswagen running gear.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it does. It has very much the Porsche look, but I'm sure it doesn't have the Porsche price.
No. As a matter of fact, they sold them here in the U.S. as a component car. So they shipped them up without a suspension, without an engine. Didn't have to go through emissions. It didn't have to go through crash testing. And the dealer sold you the car, and you put your own engine suspension in, which was all Volkswagen stuff that would bolt up.
That's cool. And for people that don't know, old school Volkswagens, it's four bolts. It's,
yeah. Yeah. Like,
you can put one in with some nail clippers. And
have you ever gone to one of the Volkswagen bug-ins or such?
Like little options where they have basically car meets? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They have a regular one here in Long Beach. H2O puts it together. This car group, and they do it over by the In-N-Out. So it's kind of a double hit. So you get to look at cars and you get to get burgers. So they have that, and then they have a couple times a year they have this Octo Show over at Vet Stadium here in Long Beach. It's cool when I can go, but you know, clearly this year has been one of those years where just stay online and live.
yeah. Well, and in Chasing Classic Cars, I think one of their episodes with Wayne Carini, he had they were selling cars at the Tupelo Museum, and they had a SP2, I believe, and that was a Volkswagen that looked very strange as well. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
And I gotta look that one up.
SP2.
Have you guys ever heard of the Volkswagen, the Hormiga?
No, now I've got to look that up. Wait, how do you spell that?
Oh, man.
Carefully.
Yeah, funny. let me see.
Or Volkswagen.
Ormiga.
Ormida?
Was that another Brazilian version?
No.
They had some strange ones out of Brazil.
It's spelled H-O-R.
Oh, that's not what I spelled. Okay.
Yeah, you probably spelled it whore.
See, I told you you had to be careful.
H-O-R.
H-O-R-M-I-G-A.
M-I-G-A. Okay, here it is.
H-O-R-M-I-G-A.
No, I don't think you need to sing the jingle, Bob.
I don't think.
No, but nice try. Okay. Oh, wow. You know what this looks like? This looks like the car that... This looks like the car that you built when you had Tinker Toys when you were a kid. I don't know if this can...
Legos.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's kind of
okay.
Square. As you get a scene of my
cab over truck.
Yeah, it's like very square. Very square.
Definitely a working man's vehicle.
SSP. Is it an SP2 or an SP3? Let me. As long as I brought this thing up, I might as well find
it. You might as well. You got to justify.
I brought it up. Now I've got to find. Oh, here it is. There you go. All right. Come on. Come to Papa.
Ah, okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That is a cool sports car.
Yeah, it very much is.
That is neat. Okay.
I to buy one of those. It's just that, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm 300 plus pounds, and I got to make sure I can get in all these things. And so that's my main. Like, if I fit good, I'm getting it. And if I don't, then I'm not even going to bother because I don't want to just stare at the car. I want to drive it.
No, that's it. You got to enjoy them. It's not just you're not putting them away. Just you know, I got it. It's on my shelf, and I've got to keep it there. Half the fun of having these things is driving them.
Yeah, that's why I appreciate the collection that Jay Leno has because. Man, Jay uses his cars, whether it's the steam engine one, the electric one, the one that has a jet engine in it, or, a classic. He's not afraid to drive them.
What was it like being on the show with him?
Oh, man, which time? Because I love Jay. He'll call me up, and I don't mind the fact that I'm not usually his first choice because I've been on the show a lot of times because other people have backed out or something happened. So I'm his go-to. Like I feel like I'm his side piece. So I got no problems. He calls me up. Yeah. I'm faithful standby. And it's just an awesome show. Being able to go to Jay Leno's garage, not just the show, but his actual, you can't even call it a garage. I mean, it's like four compounds put together and hundreds of cars, thousands of motorcycles. It's next to, everybody knows it's next to the airport because that's how much space he needed. He needed hangars for these things. And I've been to automotive museums that can't compete with Jay Leno's collection.
And his automotive knowledge. He's an automotive historian.
Yeah, because like for me, for example, I have my buses, but I don't work on them. I'm not the guy that'll get under there. And I mean, I know how they, the basics of it, but I'm not going to be the guy that goes under there and gets dirty, gets down and dirty. I'm the guy that'll make the phone call. And I'm like, hey, listen, I need you to get down and dirty. And Jay will roll up his sleeves and get under a car. And he knows so much about so many different kinds of cars. And, to have knowledge of one vehicle, that's one thing. But the guy is just, he knows his thing. He knows cars very well.
A few years ago, I talked to Jay outside of an auction in Arizona. And I asked him, what would be the one car you would want back? In other words, a car that you or your family used to have that you would like back. And he said the car that he was born, not in, but certainly when they brought him back from the hospital after he was born. And I thought that's an interesting choice. You don't have to answer the same way, but the question to you is, was there a car that you had that you no longer have that you would like to get back?
It's more so for personal. It's all for personal reasons. But my mom is no longer with us. But I have the car that I bought her. I bought her a car, and that's the car that I'd like to try to get back.
What is it?
It's a basic car. It's a Jeep Liberty.
Okay.
It's just a cute little car. Good mileage, compact. But it was, you know, clearly it's for personal reasons. Now, as far as something that I personally owned that I would like to get back if I could, that would be that original 1968 bus. That one where it was half Bondo, half paint. It was like half Bondo, half paint. A lot of luck. There was tape all over the car.
No, that's great.
By connecting two wires, and then like I had a pliers underneath the dash to start the car.
Because And did you ever get pulled over with that? And the cop look.
I would know that the car. I mean, you'd see the car, and you're like, "Yeah, this. You know, he's not going to get a whole lot for it." But I would love to get that car back and restore that one. I have a car that's identical to it, and what I would have done to it. But to get that actual first car that I remember sleeping in, breaking down in, pushing, having to work on the side of a freeway, you know, all those memories. Getting on the freeway for the first time in it. I remember we did an episode with Jay Leno, and he had Papa John on the show, and Papa John had gotten back his first car that he had sold to try to start his business. So I thought that was a cool story that, you know, he got back his original car.
When did you decide to get into comedy?
I got into comedy in 1997. I got the bug to want to be in comedy when I was 10 years old. I saw Eddie Murphy, an old VHS of Eddie Murphy Raw. Nowadays, you say VHS, and people think that's an STD.
I got VHS. Well, don't worry about it. Here's the medicine for it. You know,
yeah, penicillin might take care of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A head cleaner. Like, what?
I remember her, but that's another story.
No. Hello. Ba-dum-ba. Hey, hey. Absolutely. No, so what would you be doing if you weren't doing comedy?
Well, that's been the last 8 months, which is basically I've been selling toys, buying cars, trying to just, you know, do whatever gig I can. So I've been getting into a lot more acting, more television shows, hosting gigs, any function I can participate in that's as close to stand-up as possible. I mean, I miss it, and there's a good chance I'm going to be doing a show next week for the first time in 8 months, and I'm nervous about how that's going to go because it's a socially distanced show. Which means that I'm probably going to have 20 feet between me and whoever's in the front row, which is awkward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll hold a microphone and see what happens.
You know, one thing I like about you, and I've been to a couple of your shows, you're having fun. You're enjoying what you're doing, and it shows in what you say. You're not the kind of guy that's in your face yelling and angry. You're having fun, and you're making people have fun with you.
I'm nervous about this first show back because something tells me there's going to be a little anger in that. Frustration. Well, you know, because usually I'm talking about fun things and just, you know, basic things that people can relate to. But, man, this year is just like, whoo, you know. I want to touch on certain things, but at the same time, I want to make sure people have a good time, but I got some stuff to get off my chest, and, you know, talking to the wall ain't helping. I need a little feedback.
We can do this more often. You can, what the heck, feedback on us.
Anytime you want to sit there and vent about cars or anything, just give us a call. We're easy on this. So coming up on Saturday, you have this big event with Hot Wheels, which is interesting because we just did a show last week about Matchbox cars. But anyway, Hot Wheels Legends Tour, Jay Leno will host the finale at his garage, and you are one of the judges. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I get an opportunity to voice my opinion on a car that could potentially become a Hot Wheel. And I think anybody, you know, would dream of having their car become an actual toy, which is cool. No matter how old you are, you want to see your car become a Hot Wheel. Matchbox is a different story, but I think it's awesome. And so there's going to be a few cars there, and I get a chance to vote and pick and help decide who's going to get that opportunity.
Have you seen them yet? Do you know what's going to be there?
No, I have not seen the cars yet. I will be bringing one of my cars down in case they don't cut it.
Way to go on that.
these cars, and but have you seen?
So you've got the real cars. You've got a collection of those. Randy and I are nuts, and we have the model cars too. How about you?
The model cars, like just little toys, replicas, or scale. I started to collect them, and it got a little excessive. Because here at the office, you know, I have shelves and stuff like that that's supposed to have, you know, business stuff on it, and it wound up becoming this giant shelf of cars, and it was a lot. They told me just stop it already, because fans bring me little toys at the shows. People would send me stuff, and then of course all the stuff that I'd buy and order, and it got ridiculous, and I had to just stop because I got out of hand. And so, yeah, they cleared the shelves, and I think they left me with two.
Yeah, and of course, making like model cars when you're a kid, you're 8 years old, and you're digging the glue that basically smelled up the entire place. And the next thing you know, you're waking up and with a very big headache. I remember that, and my parents telling me about things that I did that I don't remember.
I remember my mom had bought me a model set, but it was when they came out with those click models, so you didn't need glue, you just needed it was like permanent Legos, basically. And once you click it in, it was locked in place, and then it had the stickers, and like, yeah. And I thought that's the way models were supposed to be. And then I actually of a real model set that you had to, you know, you had to break out of the little frame, and then you had to, I'm like, hey, I'm looking for the little clicks, and there's two little clicks. You got to go get that glue that makes you lightheaded, and then you're just like, all right, here we go. And then the stickers wouldn't even stick. You had to dip them in water and then hope that you lined it up straight, and if it was crooked, you were screwed.
And then, of course, the glue would stick to your hands, so the stickers would stick to your hands and rub them all off. yes.
They were little Braille cars, so you could feel everything.
Well, good luck on your show. I know, where is it going to be, or do you know yet when it's coming on?
Las Vegas, actually. Supposedly it's going to be a private, not available to the general public, but at this point I don't care. It's, you know, it's one of those things where I haven't done it in so long, I'm looking forward to anything at this point.
All right, so don't forget the Hot Wheels Legends Tour, now in its third year. Let's see, you could see this by going to Jay Leno's Garage YouTube channel, or his Jay Leno's Garage YouTube channel. Also, you can go to the Hot Wheels Facebook page and check it out. And there you'll see Gabriel Iglesias, you'll see Jay Leno, you'll even see the Stig. The former Stig is going to be there. Hey, remember to listen, like, and subscribe over our audio podcast on radio.com, KNX1070.com, Alexa. You could hear it everywhere. And watch our video podcasts, which you might be doing right now, on our Two Tired Guys production channel on YouTube. Follow us on social media. And if you want to support us, that's right, join us on patreon.com, become a patron, and you'll get all sorts of neat, cool stuff. Until then, I'm Randy, that's Bob, that's Gabe, and we will talk to you next time on Talking About Cars. So long, everybody.
Bye.